Came here to say who won it from the jump. Came here to say to get exactly what you want. Came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, we live, you know. We came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, the sports show.
Yeah. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Your Sports Show, episode 147. I am your host, Big Baby, aka the Soul of R&B.
Hello, hello. Don't make me murk you on live television today. Right? Hello.
And to my right, we have the Queen. Miss Air Infinity herself, Queen Air Infinity herself, Queen Tay. What's going on, everybody?
Before we get started, I want to wish a very, very happy Veterans Day to all the veterans who have served near, there, everywhere.
Right.
I rock with the veterans. So happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely. Shout out, happy Veterans Day. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, for your man. Service,
yes, and it's not one of those BS. Thank you for your service, like
nah.
Seriously, we both have people who that we know that's yes. close to us who have served, and you know, it's definitely yeah. Near and dear to us. So, shouts to them. Shouts to them. Some of those who do watch the show, and again, this day is for y'all.
This day for y'all. We would not be all freedom is not free. And, you know, talking about all freedom is not free. If you are living under a rock and not seeing what's going on with the Israel-Hamas conflict, you have to really take a look. And if the images of the dead children, innocent civilians, isn't tugging at your heartstrings, you have to take a long look at yourself as a human being. Whether you are on either side of the aisle, because I have friends who are Jewish, who I love, mm-hmm. and some people may know I come from a background of Islam. So please note that this is not a Jewish versus Muslim war, you know, and please know that if you have any questions, educate yourselves on what this is really about.
Right.
No, and then anti-Semitism is never okay. People out here, you're going up to people, you're attacking people, you're calling them names, you're drawing these swastikas, you're doing all kinds of things to inflame and make shit worse. You know, at the end of the day, right now, innocent people are losing their lives. 11,000 Palestinians lost their lives in a matter of a month. You know, and people are going out there losing their absolute goddamn minds out here. So please, you know, if anything, I hope they find a ceasefire soon. I hope that this conflict gets resolved and America needs to mind their damn business and take care of home.
Man.
Or find a way to be productive and
de-escalate it, America. De-escalate it. That's it, bro. That's all our...
And if America could find $20 billion to help fund this, I'm not paying out an ounce of my student loans back. They're going to have to take that L.
Yeah, use that 20... Yeah, that $20 billion is going to go in the damn student loans.
Yeah, but, you know, innocent people are losing their lives. Innocent babies are losing their lives. You know, and there's still no excuse for anti-Semitism. Anti-Islam, and I feel like whenever you have a voice, as we have a voice, we all do, mm-hmm. you use your voice for right. And what's not right is innocent people losing their lives over conflict. It's frightening.
It is. It's frightening, it's ridiculous, and it's just like, no good comes out of war, win or lose. There's too many casualties that happen. And there has to be a way to have a peaceful resolution at this point. It's too much at this point. It's too much.
Right. It's sad. So,
It's super sad. It's super sad. But Queen, since you're the only one in attendance, how are you doing this week?
I am unusually tired. Like, I feel like I came back to a time change and it became winter.
Yeah. Yeah. It did.
Like, what the hell?
It was like that.
And just like that. Like, hold on, winter. I don't have no iron pills. I don't have a winter coat. I don't have my Tims. I don't have a man. I don't have nothing. Hold on. Like, shorty, I'm not ready for Thanksgiving. Everybody hit me up like, what's your Thanksgiving plans? Like, I'm like, wait, Thanksgiving's like in 2 weeks? I didn't even realize that.
Yo, yeah, Thanksgiving is right around the corner.
Right, I'm like, wasn't Halloween just like yesterday? Like,
yo, Thanksgiving is right there. Which is crazy. I forgot. I totally forgot. I'm like, wait, hold on. The end of the year is right here. Like, this year has been fast. This year went by quick as hell.
I have to say, time flies when you are having fun. This has been my Renaissance year. I have to say, this year has gone so well that I am afraid of what next year is going to bring. Because I'm like, is this the year before the apocalypse? Because this is the year I saw Adele. This is the year I've left the country 6 times this year. I think maybe even more than that.
Yeah, you just came back.
Yeah, I've left the country. I've left the country 7 times this year.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
7 times?
Yeah, this year I saw Adele. I saw Beyonce. I actually went on vacation. You know, I lost 40 pounds.
Listen.
So it's like.
I'm about to be that right there with you.
I'm like, is this my year?
This your Hall of Fame year right here.
I know. This is where championships are won. This is the year where championships are made. So, you know, I'm having my year, my LeBron year. So, you know, this is 2012 Miami Heat. Tavia.
For sure.
Happy birthday, Stan. More life, more love, more blessings, more life, all that good stuff. I was about to write a Facebook message to you wishing you a happy birthday. Shantice wrote such a beautiful tribute to you for your birthday, but
yes,
more
life,
brother, more love, more happiness. You deserve all of that.
Man.
All that.
My gosh,
and you know,
man.
No wonder why y'all podcast sucked a couple of weeks ago. Half them, the only people I enjoyed was the people who were non-Scorpios.
Oh, with non-Scorpios? That's it?
You and Matt. And you know what's so crazy? I have 3 brothers, and out of my 3 brothers, 2 of them are Scorpios.
Oh.
2 Scorpios.
So you're like none of them.
No, I love them I love my brothers unconditionally, all 3 of them. Right. Matt and my oldest younger brother has the same birthday. So you know, you already know the vibes.
Yeah.
And then my 2 Scorpio brothers are a hot mess. Drizzy, yeah. You use your own Facebook platform to wish him a happy birthday on your page.
Oh no, that was for you.
Oh, thank
when you.
You
were talking, yeah, that was a little late. I was a little late on the comments, but that was for you. That was for you.
Sorry, oopsies. I hope next year brings so much prosperity. This year has gone so well. I was outside all year. And when I say I was outside all year, it doesn't mean like, oh, I had a man and this, because a man is the last thing I need, right? When I say I was outside, like I was doing things.
Yeah, no, that's a proper way to be outside.
I was outside the right way.
Yeah, that's not like how everybody else be outside now.
No, I was outside the right way. Like I said, me, I saw Adele.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce, I was on the yacht like with some of my closest friends, you know, for shiz. This is the year that finally the whole world sees Justin Timberlake for what I've seen him for the past 25 years, like
culture vulture.
Yeah, all that culture vulture stuff.
All that other stuff.
Come on. All that other stuff. You know, justice for Britney.
Oh, for sure.
All right, man.
All right, you ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
All right. You mentioned somebody that we're going to be talking about, and you're actually the person of the show, Latae James. We're going to get right into that first with today's topics. So, King James was recently at a press conference, well, doing press after a game, and he basically said, I'm not going to go through the whole interview, but he said about his time in Miami. Oh, this was after the Miami Heat game. Someone asked about his time and his legacy in Miami, and he basically said, my legacy would be the same.
I agree.
And it's been a shitstorm in the media ever since. Even Shannon Sharp, his biggest supporter, has gone back and forth with his team about it. So my question to you is, even though you did say you agree, would it be the same or like would it be less rings? What would LeBron's legacy have been if he didn't go to those 4 years in Miami?
I think it definitely would have been less rings. I mean, I believe that, let's be real here. His legacy was cemented with the ring that he won in Cleveland. I feel like LeBron will always go down as one of the greatest players of all time. Absolutely. I feel like the Miami Heat championships were kind of loaded because of the teams that played those championships, but I feel like his legacy was cemented before he even stepped foot on an NBA team. Like this, they were calling him the chosen one. They were calling him the king. I do feel like you would have heard more arguments for him being overrated had he not won those rings. Because, you know, people always equate greatness to championships, which, you know, sometimes I teeter on that fence because if I use that logic about greatness equaling championships, that makes Michael Jordan the greatest, and that doesn't make Aaron Rodgers one of the greats because he does, or Marino one of the greats. So you have to, you know, one thing about me, I stand on business. You get what I'm saying? I will say this. I do not feel like rings equate being the greatest because I feel like there are so many people, so many athletes who have been the best at the top of their game, at the top of their sport, who did not win the big one because basketball is a team sport. Like you have like the Patrick Ewings of the world, the Dan Marinos of the world. You know, these are people who were amazing players. Some consider them among the best, the Dominique Wilkins of the world, who were at the top of their game, at the apex of their positions and did not win the big one. But when you tie it back to LeBron, I have to walk it back. I do feel like it will be less rings. I do feel like you will have to create an argument of, is this man really the face of the league if he couldn't deliver the amount of championships? Because you already have these arguments that, well, he don't have six rings. He don't have this.
Yeah. Yeah. Stan says less all rings, right, which would change how we look at him in terms of GOATs and D-Wade helping raise him.
The thing is, I still hate that. I still hate the argument because the same way, because Jordan couldn't have won without Pippen.
Agreed.
Or Kerr, or this, or that. So it's like at the core of it, it's still a team game. One team, one sound. It was the perfect storm at the perfect time. At the perfect times. So I do feel with less rings, you have more debates. So I think that's where I stand with that.
I think his time in Miami helped him learn how to become a better leader. Because he learned with, I'm not going to say from, but he learned with Dwayne Wade how to become a better player. Not so much a better player, but a better leader of people. Remember, Dwayne Wade was there first.
You think leader? Yeah. I think he gave him a killer instinct. Because he was a 19, 20-year-old boy leading a hapless Cleveland Cavalier team. You get what I'm saying? So he had to be a leader on the island of relevancy. You get what I'm saying? In Miami, he didn't have to be a leader because you had a Pat Riley. You had Dwayne Wade. You had this person. You had the foundations. You had basically it was like insert player one there. The kingdom was built for him already.
Right. But I think with that, when he ended up going back to Cleveland, he learned how to build his dynasty over there.
But Cleveland, by the time he went back to Cleveland, was a better team.
They changed a lot of the team before when he got back.
They needed to.
Remember, Wiggins was traded for Love. Kyrie was there. They had a whole bunch of other castaways there. LeBron came back and people came want to play with him still. And he changed the culture that was there prior to him leaving. And then as he moved on from there, you know, he can't really change the culture on the Lakers because the Lakers already had the culture. So I think what he changed in Cleveland and how people started to look at him differently, especially after he won his Cleveland ring, I think that was a product of him playing in Miami for a bit. Not saying that he wouldn't have been 30,000, 10,000, 10,000, the only player to do that. Not saying he wouldn't have broke the scoring record either. But what I'm saying is, like you guys said, less rings. But that time learning under Pat Riley, who you know we all know he don't like, learning with Dwayne Wade. We know why. Yeah, we know why. But learning with...
I'll never forgive Pat Riley for that. June 15th, 1995.
Sorry.
but when you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Look at that. They won the championship in 2016, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he let, but we can't deny the fact that he was leading in Cleveland with little help. Yeah. He drugged those Cavs to the damn finals. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like he did. I agree with Vin. We don't give him his flowers for what he
should have got a participation ring with that.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like at the end of the day, when he went back to Cleveland, he had a more talented team. You know, you can't shut down Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith. You know, I know I poo-poo on Kyrie Irving a little bit, but, you know, Kyrie was a beast then. You know what I'm saying? You did have Tristan, baby daddy Thompson on that team at the time. You know, you had Mo Williams. You know, these are people who are putting up decent numbers, you know. When you have people like I'm looking at the stats from that year. You had why do I keep forgetting about Kevin Love? When you have LeBron averaging 25 points a game, 7 rebounds. When you have Kevin Love averaging 16 points, 9 rebounds a game. When you have like Kyrie averaging 20 and five assists. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that is a solid team that can take you to the top. And at that point, LeBron was what, 13 seasons in the league?
Yeah.
So I think you can't take that away. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I feel like from Miami, I get what you're saying about the leadership aspect. I don't feel like he was looked upon to be that person. I feel like Miami, he didn't need to be the savior.
No, he didn't.
So no, I feel like that is Miami. He was allowed to be the superstar. He was allowed to be the Magic Johnson. He was allowed to be the Michael Jordan. He was allowed to be that person in Miami that he wasn't allowed to be in Cleveland from 2003 to 2010. He took the damn half-ass, like had the ragtag team to the finals. You know what I'm saying? And this was
basically... Yeah, he took us to the finals. He basically took us to the finals.
Yeah. Like, it put us on the poor baby, put us on. He was a baby. I think we were, because we're the same age. We were 23.
Yeah.
We were
23. Ron, yeah, he got an unfair shake going against some Spurs. And
yeah.
And man. He played his heart out.
And you don't give him an MVP?
It was like that finals reminded me of when AI faced the Lakers.
Yes.
When AI, and AI got one. He got the first one over after that, but the Lakers with the gentleman sweep can't really do much about it. And LeBron, he just couldn't get a game. And you know, it's Tim Duncan and the Spurs.
Yeah, it was systems and it was teams. Mm-hmm. Systems, yeah. And teams. And at the end of the day, what the I feel like you LeBron has earned the right to talk his shit.
Yes. If you, any man,
like he can't say, nah, I wouldn't be the greatest. Like, I'd be like, yo, what type of bum shit is that? Like, no, you talk your shit. Yes. If somebody asked me that, I'd be like, yes, I'm still the greatest. And what?
I think the Jordan narrative is too much. Because people forget the times when Jordan actually didn't get there compared to the times that he got there. Yeah, when you got there, you didn't lose. Cool. Hooray. But we can also remember the times that you were there and where you didn't get there. So, and I think that's the problem that I have about the Jordan debate, with the Jordan LeBron debate, because Kobe and Jordan weren't having those same debates about Kobe and Jordan. Kobe lost in the finals. Kobe got five of them, but he lost in the finals. No, I can't hear the music.
All right, good.
No. Somebody jamming?
Yeah, my brother's playing music. But
he said he needed to be the savior the last 2 years.
No, you know what? Everybody tries to always discredit LeBron. Like, the way Wade was on his last leg, literally.
He's talking about Jordan. Nobody was remembering when.
No, Jordan, I know. Jordan, I'm talking about Stan with the D Wade argument. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade was on his last leg out the league at that point too. Like, let's be real here. Let's be really real here.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade was hurt those four years when he was in Miami. I think those last two were just like the icing on the cake. And then also, oh gosh.
Yeah, he did do him dirty.
This credit. No. That's what he was like. He was giving him credit for dragging Dwayne Wade. Wade was beat up from the ring he won with Shaq. Yeah, that's crazy.
He ain't never recovered from that 2006.
Yeah, he was getting his ass whipped. The whole time,
my boy Dwayne Wade never played a full season in the NBA.
No, he was always hurt.
Spectacular player,
yes,
spectacular. But you know what's so crazy to me, though? I feel like we get into this, like I said, I always circle back to Jordan. I don't know why. I feel like because he's the linchpin of the league, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you always have to go back to it. Like, I feel like being somebody who was such a student of the game during the 90s, you get what I'm saying? Especially during that time, because I was playing as a kid during that time. So I was like really learning, even though the Jordan position, the shooting guard position wasn't my position. Like, I was learning more from the power forward position because that was my position as a girl, you know? And then at the time I was playing mainly against boys. So I had to learn how to be aggressive and be more, you know, I was learning more from the Charles Oakleys of the world, from the Rasheed Wallaces of the world, and, you know, from the more, you know, aggressive Anthony Masons of the world. Because I was, of course, I was a big Knicks fan. So
Jesus Christ. Anthony Mason. Recipe to Anthony Mason. Oh my God.
And unfortunately, from like the Karl Malones and, you know, the more aggressive.
We don't speak that name on here.
So, but at the end of the day, like, I really didn't. My goal was to learn every role from the one to the five. And like I said, Jordan was a spectacular Of course, Jordan was a spectacular player. I'm never going to sit here and bump my gums and sound like a complete idiot and be like, oh, he was not great. He was great. Jordan was an amazing player. And you know what's so crazy? I feel like his greatness was in knowing the clutch, being clutch. But his greatness was also having clutch people around him too. You get what I'm saying? Like I said, the Bulls aren't winning some of those games. Had it not been for a Steve Kerr three, had it not been for a timely Dennis Rodman stop, had it not been for a timely, you know, Scottie Pippen long range jumper. You get what I'm saying? And I feel like Phil Jackson had mastered the art of merging philosophy and plays.
He's a Jordan whisperer.
Huh?
He was a Jordan whisperer.
He was an everybody whisperer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like Phil Jackson legitimized Shaq.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I could tell you why. Because he is the one who got Kobe to kind of buy into letting them know, hey, this is, you know, you got to feed big fella.
Yeah. His philosophy of basketball legitimized Shaquille O'Neal. Because Shaquille O'Neal was known as the dunking guy. All he knew how to do was dunk and break backboards. And this immature Orlando Magic team. Right. Yeah. It was as if he was playing Live 95 on cheat codes. Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, C.
Yeah. Stan says one thing about Pippen. He was there for the whole ride. Better or worse, every city... Broncos, his best teammate is always suspect.
Hell, always. Man.
Always.
Always spotty.
Oh, my gosh. Know the crazy part about 07? Yep. They weren't even supposed to. The We Believe Warriors went as far as they were supposed to. But I think the Spurs were going to make that finals anyway. It was an odd year, too. Remember, they were winning it in every odd year except one time.
I don't know why I thought the Phoenix Suns – I mean, the Phoenix Suns were so good to watch that year, man.
The Phoenix Suns was a great team to watch in the 2000s.
It
was
man.
They could never, never get over the rest of the West.
Never.
It's hard to beat the Lakers and beat the Spurs, and then Dallas wasn't that half bad either.
No, the West at that point was just so competitive too. Mm-hmm. Like even your mid-card West could have upset you at any time.
Yeah, when the Kings stopped being at the time when the Kings stopped being good, when Weber was traded, but the West still had most of their powerhouses back then.
Can I just tell you how much I loved Chris Weber?
I can't stand to hear him talk.
Word?
He'd be on my video game. He used to be on NBA 2K just chatting. I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up. Bro, I don't want to hear you. And then when he'd be on live telecast, I'm like, yo, I still don't want to hear you. But as a player, Chris Webber was a dog. It's a shame. It's like one. I think C. Webber is one of those players where I just kind of feel like, damn. I wish he could have won one. I wish he could have won one with them Kings. But, you know, for reasons beyond us, he didn't. He didn't win. So if I go to the comments.
What's the name? I love it.
Uh-huh. So Phil Jackson is low-key shady, though. Man wrote a whole book.
High-key shady. And Kobe. Not even low-key.
Season. Spilling all the locker room tea on Kobe.
He hated them.
The worst team in the West was the top three team in the East at that time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let it go, Dre. Man, I'm tired of C-Web. Like, leave Web alone.
I love Chris Webber. Always did. And man. And let me tell you something. I still hold on really strong that team was cheated out of really
good. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Memories. We agree on that. Yeah. They were cheated. They were definitely cheated. Most of them teams were cheated. out of wins back then.
And you know what's so crazy too? Like, I feel like I didn't appreciate Kobe until I got older. I was not the biggest Kobe fan until I got older. And because I have that similar, that relentless mindset. And that's why it's so crazy that I'm so hard on the, I think I'm so hard on Jordan and the Jordan because of the fans. You get what I'm saying? Because of how people just nut ride on this man so hard. Like he was like the second coming of Jesus. You know,
that's some the way people, they presented him.
Right. And for me, it was like, when you are somebody that's cut from a cloth that has that relentless work ethic, that is somebody who is, you know, unorthodox in how they approach their field. You know what I'm saying? And it's considered one of the best in their field and considered this and considered that. Like, you know, usually you would use that as a standard point of like, yo, I see you and I appreciate you and I see myself in that. But for some reason, I just don't. You know, as like I said, as I became a woman and had that mentality of no laziness, no days off, no this, and being ambitious and being driven and being and putting myself in the overdrive and doing that, that's when I kind of started seeing like to be a student of the game and to marry myself into my craft. I kind of, you know, got into that mentality, you know, of that. I didn't see that with Jordan. I saw that more with Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe was the one that asked questions, wanted to be as great as humanly possible, and he went to everybody. So definitely shout out to Kobe Bryant. Joining the show via one of these trains is the voice of the generation, Pete Rosato.
Well, well, well. You are always on the road. Like, okay.
When we say
like Friday at 6:30 or whatever, right? I just want to understand, right? When we say, look, we're going to do the show at this time. Does this time work for you? And y'all don't say nothing. So we operate under the guise that the time works. Like, I hustled. You guys don't understand, right? I have a very important couple of days coming up. I just came, I was on the other side of the world for 6 days. I've been home for two. I'm leaving again tomorrow. And I still made the show on time.
So I think this is the reason why I was late. Because see, the reason why I was late is I was at the cardiologist. And there were complications.
You had a heart attack?
That I took. No, thankfully, thank God, no. But my blood pressure came back really awkwardly high. So they had to run a couple tests and they had to do a couple things.
And so why didn't we even know that you was at the fucking cardiologist?
Because you have to pay for Wi-Fi at the doctor's office. You don't have free.
I would have sent you the $10.
What?
So then when I left.
Now your phone is having a seizure too, huh?
Somebody just tried calling me, so I had to.
How you feeling now? And no, I don't feel better.
They sent me home. I'm feeling better. They sent me home with a blood pressure monitor, so I have to monitor my blood pressure twice a day for a month, so that they can make sure that I'm good. And they also, which by the way, this one was probably the best news of the day. They wanted to send me for a sleep study for sleep apnea.
Cause you be snoring.
And I thought, well, I have hypersomnia, so like I sleep even for long periods of time and wake up.
I knew that you snored. I don't know why I just knew that you did.
Say,
you're probably louder than knocking too. Like,
yo.
So they told me they wanted to do a sleep study, and I thought that meant that I had to go to like a sleep center, and because I did a sleep study when I was younger. Yeah. I was having trouble falling asleep. And they were like, no, we're going to give you a watch and a little like thing to put on your finger. And you can sleep for one night. And there's an app and it tracks everything for you. And then we'll have all the information.
Oh, I wish you would have. I have sleep back there, so I know.
What's your problem?
Yeah, and then in about 2 weeks, I got to go back for a stress test. So that one's going to be fun. They're going to put me on a treadmill and run my heart till it's about to burst and then get on the table and do an echocardiogram.
But I hope you feel better.
It was a little,
but you know, thank you. Know,
yeah, they were a little concerned because on my father's side of the family, we have a history of heart attacks. Both my father and both my paternal grandmother and grandfather, all three had heart attacks. And obviously, my mother having the type of stroke that she had when she passed,
right.
They were just like, right. Okay, you got it on both sides of the family. We need right. to, we really need to check in on this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I empathize with you and all that good shit, right? But why are we finding out the same time the whole public finding out too? That's why I'm a little hot.
Because literally, so I was at the doctor. My phone died while I was there. Like I wouldn't expect. So my appointment was at 12:45. Like,
oh my god!
My appointment was at 12:45. My appointment was at 12:45. I got in to see the doctor around 1 o'clock. By like 2 o'clock, I was supposed to walk out, and they were like, "Nah, we need to keep you for a little while." So I was there, and my phone died while I was there.
Oh my god!
So like, I had to go buy. Like, Shanice didn't even find out until maybe like a half hour, 45 minutes ago, because I went to Walgreens, bought a charger, sat in a Starbucks, charged up my phone just so I could call her, and then got just enough juice so I can load up my New Jersey Transit ticket so I can get on the train. And thankfully, I got on a train that has an outlet, so I was able to charge up. And I charged up a little at Penn Station because I was hoping to get on the show for a little bit when we started. Like, I was at Penn Station ready to get on. And if I had to sit at Penn Station and do the whole show at Penn Station, I would have done that. But unfortunately, I had no way. Like, StreamYard was not loading. I was surprised the message to Facebook Messenger even went through.
All right, you're forgiven.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. You're forgiven.
Thank you. Please keep us posted, okay?
Right.
Please look like, let us know when stuff like that happens because, like, you know?
At least it's not a Dwight Howard situation.
Jesus.
Wait. Oh, here comes. Wait, here wait comes.
I say Dwight Howard, and here he comes.
Well, well, well. It's the foursome. The foursome is here.
I ain't gonna hold you, Tay. Like, I'm living right now. I'm sorry, Yard Nation, but right now I'm just like I'm out of it right now. I'm just eating right now. It's the personal shit, and I don't want to go there. But it's just like I'm drained, and I just need to like calm down. I need to relax. I get it. I need to relax. But right now I'm just.
Do I need to take a ride?
It's looking like it. I'm not going to hold you. It's looking like it. It's just, I'm trying so hard. You know how hard it is to be calm sometimes? You know how hard it is to be an adult and be grown and like be well-minded? You know how hard it's not to be 09 Matt, my nigga? It's mad hard not to be 09 Matt right now. But you know what? I got to relax. I'm going to relax.
If it makes you feel any better, Dwight Howard hasn't eaten ass in the past 72 hours.
You know what? It's so crazy. These episodes always deduce that every time Pete and Matt are on the line, we always try to go into who he meant.
Is that? Motherfuckers who keep bringing it up is the ones who doing it, bro. Like,
oh shit.
I don't care. Stop bringing up their name on the damn show, bro.
He likes sending dick pics. He likes sending dick pics.
I don't care.
I said nothing about him eating ass.
I just gotta say though, Darius Jackson needs to be locked up.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, under the jail.
Am I too late for Tavius T-Tow?
No, we didn't get to it yet.
Because I think we need to talk about the pressures of being a fucking single father, and not resorting to violence. I think we need to talk about that.
Mom, we want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we don't want to. No,
I do. I definitely do.
you're an only single father, so I think you and Tavia can have that conversation off camera, that where it doesn't,
mental health,
you
know, is real.
Prosecute you for anything, okay?
My mental health is real. This is crazy.
I mean, listen, yo, man, if you're willing, Kiki Palmer might need somebody to give some support right now.
Y'all joining one having a heart attack, one do a 187.
Yo, I'm gonna do with my non-existent Twitter account. I'm gonna make this happen. I'm gonna make this happen for Matt. I'm gonna tweet at Kiki Palmer, like, yo, my boy Matt.
I heard she's sitting there.
Jesus Lord.
I heard she said.
No, really, like all the way.
I'm just saying, yo. I really do try. Like, but motherfuckers to come at me and try to make it say like I'm a bad dad. That shit fucking, that shit be killing me, bro. That shit is, I'm trying hard not to like get there, but that shit, it, when it comes to my kids, bro, I go in about my kids. I work hard, bro. I sacrifice a lot for my kids. I hate that aspect of anybody trying to put me down to make it seem like I'm not a great dad or like trying to gaslight. That shit fucks with me.
All right. Now that we have everybody here, let's continue on what we were talking about, what we're getting back to, what we were about to get into, is James Harden. And James Harden practically destroying the Los Angeles Clippers. So, that being said, BK, Matt, your thoughts on James Harden and his stint with the Clippers so far?
Still a hoe. He just prostituted himself with a different team. It's still early, so I don't know necessarily. I don't really have too much to say about it. You got to get in where he fit in. Pause. And it, like, it's too early. It's only been 2 games. Granted, they lost to the Nets. They lost to the Knicks. They should have beat the Nets because Cam Thomas got hurt in that game, and he's the Nets' leading scorer. But honestly, they got rid of their depth. And now I think that's the thing that nobody's really talking about. They got rid of like some good defensive pieces, so now they're like they're food. Like they're food. Teams are gonna outscore them, and there's only but so much Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could do if they're healthy against all these other teams. I feel like it's gonna take a while for them to gel all four together. Somebody needs to come off the bench. Practically, I really feel like it should be Harden. But with today's climate, I feel like it's going to be Russell Westbrook, and I feel like that's foul because he actually was doing really good in the start of the season with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They had some level of chemistry, and James Harden is 100% destroying that because now they got to figure it all out. Now you got a 4-man lineup with 4 guys that could be Hall of Famers, some were MVPs. You know, like that's hard to try to figure out. I feel like Ty Lue could figure it out, but it's gonna be a while. It's gonna probably be a little bit too late before they can figure it out. By the time they can figure it out, somebody will probably get injured. Knowing they luck. Because FMLA runs wild in the Clippers. But I don't know. I don't really too much have a synopsis on James Harden on the Clippers right now. It's too soon to tell. Bless you.
Thank you.
I feel like we got quiet. I feel like I made it weird.
No.
Queen, your thoughts. I was speaking and I was muted.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Matt, on the assessment of James Harden and the LA Clippers. I feel as if, like you said, it's kind of early in the season to tell. I believe that this team it's too front heavy. So, like you said, like somebody has to come off the bench. And I feel like when you have four players of this caliber who are all at the tail end of their career too, when you really think about it, you have to find the good rhythm. And hopefully, I think they'll find a decent way. I think they're a decent team. They'll be a decent team. I think that James Harden is a freaking, like, I don't know, like, is a madman. I think over the past like 4 or 5 seasons, like the fact that he's played for so many teams and they've moved so many pieces to accommodate him, and then leave these teams by the wayside when he's ready to go, I feel like it's like somebody has to stop this. This is madness. This is madness. You get what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like, I feel like Russell Westbrook, you know, is going to get the short end of the stick on this one, too. But they do not look good as of right now. I feel like, it's so early to tell. Like, they didn't look good against the Nets at all. And the Nets, they should have ragtagged the Nets. But the Nets are a balanced, but don't get it twisted either. The Nets are a balanced team. The Nets are a balanced team.
They're missing 3 players, though.
Yeah, but they're still balanced. They're still balanced. This Clippers team is way too top-heavy with injury-laden players. Like you said, their bench is decimated. They have no depth.
Zero depth. They're not a good. They are a good team, but I don't think Ty Lue even won it. James Harden, you know what? But Pete, your thoughts?
Nobody did.
So, just read simply. James Harden is the Kanye West of the NBA. Like, let's just say what it is. James Harden is the Kanye West of the NBA, and he's only gone to situations where he thinks he's going to be taken care of and where he thinks he can get over. When you think about it, he left OKC because he was tired of the load being put on him, right? He went to Brooklyn because he had all his people. He wanted to go to Brooklyn because he had all his people there, right? He goes to Philly because he has Daryl Morey there, who he had a great relationship with originally in Houston, and didn't want to leave Houston because he knew Daryl Morey was always going to take care of him. He was Daryl Morey's guy. And then he goes to Philly to be reunited with Daryl Morey, and that just completely falls apart. And I think it's because Philadelphia didn't give Daryl Morey the same kind of power and influence that he had in Houston. And so, you know, James Harden was going to be expected to play and be expected to be second fiddle to Joel Embiid and things like that. And so he wants to go to the Clippers, where we all know Ty Lue has a reputation as a player's coach. Everywhere he's been, people love him as a player's coach. And so James Harden thought, okay, I'll go to the Clippers and I'll be taken care of. And they're the kings of load management. And I'll be able to rest when I want to rest. And, you know, I can blend in but also still be a scorer because I know that Kawhi's going to get hurt at some point. I know Paul George is going to get hurt at some point. They're going to lean on me. And I get to be a star, but also not have to do star work. And that to me is the biggest issue of the modern day NBA as well. People want to be stars, but not do star work, not actually have to shoulder the load. Because again, you're not only a star when things are great. When you score 50 and your team wins, that's awesome. But what are you going to do when you score 50 and your team loses? You have to be the one that answers the question. You have to be the one that sits up there and says, what went wrong? Right, Giannis has to do that in Milwaukee. Even with Dame Lillard there, Giannis scored 54 points, right, and that team lost to Indiana. And Giannis has to be the one that's up there answering questions. And that's what it means to be a star and a leader, and James Harden doesn't have that. In terms of that team, you know, we're in 2023, and people are still trying to recreate the Boston Celtics. Like, let's just be real with this. We are in 2023, and not a year has gone by where a team in the NBA has not tried to recapture the magic of the Boston Celtics, of Kevin Garnett, you know, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Rajon Rondo. And we only add Rondo because Rondo won championships with them. But when you really think about it, it was a big three. It was Garnett, it was Pierce, it was Allen. That was the setup. And at the end of the day, everyone's been trying to recreate that since 2000. We're in 2023, and everyone's still trying to recreate that. And what we're learning is, listen, being a Yankee fan my entire life, I know what this is, right? This is people going after star players and trying to say, if I have an all-star at every position, I should be unbeatable. And that just isn't the case. It isn't the case. James Harden, and this is bigger than James Harden. This is a larger NBA problem. This is what happens when you become a player, a player happy league. The players have a lot more power than they should have. The players get to dictate what they want to do and how they want to do it, and the league bends to them. And this is what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago, where the more you make it a player, you know, a player's driven league, the more you're going to see these things. And I think that it is up to Adam Silver to kind of combat this. And that's the problem. He's not combating it. Stern would have. Stern would have had people in place, in check. But unfortunately, Adam Silver is a different leader than you know, Stern was. But not saying Adam Silver's not doing the job.
People want to talk about what Stern did with the Chris Paul trade, but remember what that also did. It kept the parity in the NBA. It kept that you know, all-star team from being put together. And you would have seen that probably here now. Stern would have been like, well, why do you need a fourth superstar? Like, why do you need this, right? We don't want to see the all-star game every game. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Everybody definitely made good points on that. So moving forward into some NFL news. The Eagles played the Cowboys earlier this week. And it seemed like they're slipping. The Eagles seemed like they're slipping. And it seems like Tay at the beginning of the season, of course, was right again about the Eagles. And them basically being fraudulent. And I say fraudulent, I mean like the Vikings last year fraudulent. So with that being said, Queen, will the Eagles make it to the Super Bowl this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't see another end. Let me backtrack. Okay. Because the reason why I could say yes is because they're not the only NFC team that's experiencing a kind of a skid. Because the team that I was kind of high on at the beginning of the season for the NFC was the 49ers, who are looking kind of bad right now as well. Mm-hmm. So the Eagles bad and the 49ers bad are two different bads.
Right.
49ers are looking abysmal.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are kind of slipping a bit. The Eagles, I feel like the Eagles have a better chance of making the Super Bowl than the 49ers at this point. Those are the top two teams of the NFC.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So when you look at how they're doing right now, I feel like if this is the best that the NFC has to offer, then the NFC is in trouble. The Dallas Cowboys are doing what the Dallas Cowboys always do.
Yeah.
We're getting into December. Pretty soon, things are getting a little shaky. They're looking a little cowboyish. So this is what I expect.
December time, yep.
Yeah, it's December. It's getting into winter time. They look a little shady, look a little shaky. This is what they do, right? The Philadelphia Eagles is a little slip, but I think, to be honest with you, they are still fraudulent to me. Don't get me wrong. They are still really fraudulent. This year, there's no miracle in Minnesota. Our boy Kirk Cousins, he's out for the season, so there's no more weeks 9 through 13 where he's going to take them and make them look like they're a viable contender. You know, yeah. The Commanders suck. The Giants suck. The Packers suck.
Yeah.
The Seahawks suck.
Everybody.
Everybody sucks. The NFC looks crazy right about now. So the best they have to offer are the San Francisco 49ers, who lost like three games.
Yeah, ever since dude wore the Cowboys shirt.
The three top teams are the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the 49ers. That is the best the NFC has to offer right now.
I already know what the Cowboys are going to do.
The Cowboys are going. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl, y'all.
So I'm going to say it right here, right now, on November the 10th. and you can bookmark it, you can clip it. I'm going to say the NFC is the Cowboys' conference to lose. Straight up, plain and simple. I think this, barring injury, barring some catastrophic issues with the roster, I don't see a reason why the Cowboys cannot, for the first time in almost 30 years, represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I don't see a path where that cannot happen, because San Francisco is really the only hurdle that they got to cross over. They've shown they can deal with the Eagles. The rest of the NFC East is trash. The North, the South are trash, and the West is outside of the Niners are trash. And this is where I think there is no reason why the Cowboys cannot be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl this year. And I think we could sit here and we talk about the Eagles having hiccups and the Eagles being fraudulent. May or may not be true. I think they've been good. Their offense has been better than it was last year, but their defense is not as good, right? Their offense is still pretty okay. Jalen Hurts not playing at the same level, but they're still scoring. I believe their scoring average is actually more this year per game than it was last year. The San Francisco 49ers are what they are, but is Brock Purdy going to be able to last the whole season? What are they going to do when we get into the end of the season, right? The Cowboys have a firm hold on their division. They know who they are. They know what their identity is. I don't see a reason why the Cowboys can't do it. I think this is the Cowboys division conference to lose. I can see the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl for the first time since, what, 95? 94?
Wait, I'm hearing something really weird. Hold on. Wait.
Bullshit.
Wait. Bullshit. Is this 1995?
Yeah,
man, shut the fuck up. The Cowboys ain't going no goddamn.
Who's beating them? Who's beating them?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
No.
I think so.
No. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You know what my problem is? This is my problem with the Cowboys. Dak makes some bonehead decisions and clutch. The Cowboys beat themselves.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? They beat themselves. Poor clock management.
Mm-hmm.
Poor ball management. The Eagles barely escaped that game. You know why they barely escaped that game? Because the Cowboys are sloppy.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
The Cowboys are sloppy. If they make it to the Super Bowl, that means that the Eagles and the 49ers are trash. And besides looking fine as hell, Jalen Hurts needs to sit down somewhere then.
the only other competition.
Jalen Hurts, I want to see you in February now.
This may be 1995 because guess what? The Cowboys and the Detroit Lions are both good. Detroit is what, 6-2?
I do like Detroit. I think their coach is so hot.
The one who's talking about biting people's knees off?
Yeah, I don't know. Something about a dad bod. I don't know what it is.
You know, you got a situation where right now, if the Philadelphia Eagles win the division, let's say they win the division, they have the best record in the conference, they're going to get the bye, they're going to get home field advantage. Okay? Cowboys are probably going to play the Niners or whoever wins whoever has the third best record. So they'll probably end up playing either the Niners or the Lions, and then the other team will end up playing whoever wins the NFC South. You know, so, I mean, I'm seeing right now that you'll have the Dallas Cowboys in at very least the second round of the playoffs, because they'll definitely win the wild card game. They'll get into the second round of the playoffs, and depending on who else makes it into the second round, because if I'm looking at it right now, you've got the Lions, and then you've got the Saints. The Niners and the Seahawks are tied for first at 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it really all depends. If it's if by some chance the Seahawks make it, I can see Dallas beating the Seahawks. I can see Dallas beating the Saints. I can see if it's Dallas versus the Saints in the first round or Dallas versus the Lions in the first round, I see Dallas winning. And then they have to play more than likely San Francisco in the second round, which I think they can beat them. So we're saying it's either going to be Dallas and San Francisco or Dallas and Philly in the NFC Championship game. That's a no-brainer. And in that case, it's a matter of, like, again, Dallas has to play Philly at least one more time. They have to play him one more time.
I don't think we count out the 49ers just yet.
And Dallas can't get past the first time round ever. So nobody's really worried about wild card Dallas. Like I get what you're saying. And in theory, you possibly could be correct. The problem with that is that they lost one of their best defensive players, in Diggs. And then second, Dak holds on to the ball. He doesn't hold on to the ball too long. He just doesn't make good decisions. And it's not only on Dak, it's on Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy doesn't make good decisions in the clutch either. That game was too close for them to have shit clock management at the end of the game, where they could have beat the Eagles. They definitely could have beat the Eagles and had somewhat control of the division. Because if you play them one more time, you beat them. You're straight. You tied with the Eagles in the division. And who's to say that the Eagles will not lose again during the season? We know so many teams that have gone undefeated to a certain point or have one loss to a certain point. And then when it gets to crunch time in the season, you know, 13, 14, 15, they start to crumble. I just don't see Dallas doing anything of anything magical, not this year. And it'd be beautiful for the Cowboys just to lose in the first round and all the Cowboys fans just be upset again, as usual, crying as usual. Always. It's amazing.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too.
I do want to say, I'm mad you brought up the Philadelphia Eagles and ran right past the biggest Philadelphia Eagles-related story in the NFL this week. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz has a job again.
Nobody cares about Carson Wentz. That's why I didn't bring him up. That's why it wasn't written down. That's why it wasn't even thought about. It was nothing.
Carson Wentz blew past
my desk, and I was like, all right, keep it going. Like,
Carson Wentz has a job in the NFL again, Tay.
What team he play for now?
I think Minnesota signed him to bad because they lost the I think it was Minnesota that signed him. I'm not sure off the top of my head. I don't remember.
I hope Nick Foles come back and then they sign him and he takes the Vikings to the Super Bowl. I hope he does that. I hope all of that happens.
Oh, no. It might have been the Raiders. I don't know. I think it was one of these teams. I forget who off the top of my head. Who? Is it the Rams? Oh, the Rams. The Rams signed him.
No, yeah, because they're tired of what's his name? Matthew Afford.
Also, greatest name in the NFL this year on the LA Rams this year, Pacua Nacua. I love it. Wide receiver. I think a rookie wide receiver having a breakout year. Every time you hear the announcer, Pacua Nacua, I'm like, what the who?
Gosh, Queen, do we have some tea this week?
Not much, but we have
a little something. Let me know if I need to drop the music. If not, I could wait.
Tea time is no fun without Matt.
It's not. I ain't gonna lie to you.
We can save it.
And I had to unhinge. I was ready for Matt. It was all loaded up on my computer. We have to wait till all four of us are on and for the unhinged R&B and T-Top. Because those need everybody. Nosebleed need everybody.
You know, Pete about to have a heart attack. You know, yeah, Matt jump was on. About to be on the first 48. So
yeah,
I feel like this is a episode. This, you know.
Yeah, this is cool, and then we need to talk to y'all after.
I think we need to have like a counseling session after the episode.
Players only meeting.
I think tea time needs to be, you know.
I am anticipating a very special tea time for that very special episode that we shall continue to tease with no details soon enough. And that's how you do it in Radio Land, ladies and gentlemen. You know, but I am anticipating a very special tea time for that very special episode in a couple of weeks. I think that's gonna be the one right there.
Oh yeah. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but you know, let's
little razzle dazzle.
Nah, that's not for y'all. The razzle dazzle for me.
The razzle, yo.
Let me have something. I couldn't be LeBron, so I need a razzle dazzle. Like I need that.
I saw a razzle dazzle meme, and I immediately every time I hear,
every time I see it, I think it's Dre.
Yeah, I think it's Dre. It's a little razzle dazzle.
Oh, just to run through pick five real quick. I'll have the games up tomorrow in the chat later on. Last week, I'm not even gonna play it. Last week, for whatever reason, there was just no magic anywhere. The team that was supposed to win,
I fucked up.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I fucked up twice. I fucked up.
Yo, I had two teams. What was it? Two teams that blew a lead. Two teams that between, I think, with the Cowboys and somebody else that just lost the game on the final drive. I'm like, yo, y'all had it. Y'all had it.
The Bills are the worst, bro. Like, oh my God.
People don't realize, like, the Bills are done. They're cooked. Their goose is cooked. The Bengals, let me tell you something. The Bengals are looking pretty good to me, man.
And you know what's funny? You know what nobody's talking about, Tay?
Kansas City, though. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what nobody's talking about, Tay? And I know a reason why they're not talking about it is because the team that he's on right now is the absolute dog shit.
What's up?
No one's talking about how Josh Allen's decline in Buffalo coincides with his offensive coordinator becoming the head coach of the New York Football Giants. And no one is really talking. Brian Daboll was hired really off of the resume of look what he did with Josh Allen. He took Josh Allen where a lot of people thought he
was. Look at the damn Giants.
I don't put it on Daboll, right? Because
I put part of it on Daboll because there's been some questionable moves out there though.
Here's why I don't put it on Daboll, Tay, right? And here's the thing, right? Every single one of us, all four of us, and most pundits when it comes to football and stuff like that, we knew Daniel Jones was not a franchise quarterback, and yet the New York Football Giants committed the money that they committed to him and committed the and now you have a guy who is out here being exactly what he always was, and Daboll was like, okay, I was able to craft something, I was able to get something out of him for 1 year. And it did more for Daniel Jones than it did for Daboll. Granted, Daboll got coach of the year, but it did more for Daniel Jones. But it got Daniel Jones a four or five year, $100-something million contract that the boy did not deserve. I'm sorry. The Giants decided to do that. And at the end of the day, that's also why Daniel Jones started last week. Because even though Tyrod Taylor has definitely been the best Giants quarterback on that roster, the only reason why Tyrod Taylor was on the bench last week was because they paid Daniel Jones all that money, and because he was healthy now, we got to start him. Daniel Jones should have been on the bench last week, and Tyrod Taylor should have started last week. Very simple. Daniel Jones needs to be shipped out of New York, and I don't put it on Daboll. He's done the best he can with that team. He hasn't been given a lot, but that team is a lot better than what it was before Daboll got there. And Josh Allen looks a lot worse as a quarterback ever since Daboll left. So you coincide those two things. I think Daboll's a pretty damn good coach. And you get him a pretty decent quarterback, I think he can do some magic with it. I think Daboll is a big piece of the future for the New York Football Giants. Daniel Jones needs to very quickly be a part of their past.
I get that.
We need to get Josh Allen in. We just, that's the case. We need to get Josh Allen. You just answered that question. We need to get Josh Allen. That's what I feel like needs to happen.
You love flushing toilets when I'm on the damn podcast. Like,
I mean, you're not gonna get Reeves. You're not gonna get Reeves, but I think you could be in position to get one of the top two or three quarterbacks coming out of college football if the Giants just realize they have to start.
I don't like the draft. Give me somebody established. I like somebody weathered.
Sorry, I meant Will Levis, not Reeves. Will Levis out of the University of Kentucky.
The Giants don't draft well.
No New York team drafts well.
Mm-mm. From basketball on down, bitch.
Right. We just do not draft well. It's like we're allergic to the shit. And I don't understand why. It's like, how can we possibly mess up the future of the team and expect people to want to come play here? I don't get it. How can you look at your team and be like, you know what? I'm gonna fuck this up. Like Phil Jackson style. Like that's what you're doing. You just go look and be like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just gonna draft who I want to draft. Oh man. But shouts to us here at the Your Sports Show. BK, Matt, Pete,
I got quick hits.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, okay. You haven't had quick hits in like 2 months. So I didn't know.
Quick hits, bitch.
I wrote my segment.
Right. Oh, you wrote it. Okay. You're in your building?
I am. I'm downstairs, but I'm going to still do this. I'm going to sit on a bench and do quick
hits. Your building looks like a polite project. Okay.
Not polite project.
It is. No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
All right. Let's get into quick hits. If it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from. Uptown, baby. Uptown, baby. We gets down, baby. I'm for the crown, baby. Now, if it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from. Uptown, baby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, your nation, welcome to Quick Hits, a.k.a. things we missed since our last episode. And we're going to start out with unfortunate news. Legendary NCAA coach Bob Knight passed away November 1st at the age of 83 years old. Knight was the youngest coach at a Division I school, starting in 1965, got his first coaching job at the age of 24, but he made his mark at Indiana, where he won a school record 661 games, reaching the NCAA tournament 24 times in 29 seasons. His first NCAA title is still unmatched in NCAA basketball. 1976, he led an undefeated Indiana team to the NCAA title, something no school has done since. Bobby Knight won 20 or more games in a season 29 times, compiling a career record of 902 and 371. In 1984, he also coached the last amateur U.S. Olympic team to get an Olympic gold medal. And then after leaving Indiana in 2001 for Texas Tech, he led the Red Raiders to 5 20-win seasons in his 6 seasons there, a first at the school at the time, also becoming the all-time winningest NCAA coach. He has since been surpassed by a young man he coached on his Army team, Mike Krzyzewski. Big news out of the NBA, Robert Williams III, acquired by the Portland Trailblazers in the Drew Holiday trade, will undergo season-ending right knee surgery. He suffered damage to his kneecap and ligaments during this past Sunday's loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, but is expected to be fully recovered for the start of the 2024-2025 season. But this is a big thing because Robert Williams III was looked to be a big trade piece for a lot of teams around midseason this year. A lot of teams were asking Portland if they were going to move Robert Williams III. speaking of NBA, Jameer Nelson, remember him? Former Orlando Magic point guard. Now the general manager of Philly's G League team.
Mm.
Didn't think you'd be hearing Jameer Nelson's name in 2023.
I think that's a good look. I think that's a good look. I like when former players are in a position to coach the newer generation or current players. Not all of it all the time works out like a Steve Nash type of deal. But other than that,
it's a very interesting structure in Philly, because I believe Elton Brand is the general manager of the of the Sixers. Yeah. Former player Elton Brand, and now Jameer Nelson, former point guard. Though he never played for Philly, he did star at college. I believe he went to Temple in Philadelphia. And so a big Philly kid, obviously made his name with the Orlando Magic in the NBA. But now he is the GM of their G League team. So very interesting there.
I mean, I know he's happy to be back home, but he's walking into some mess kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is true. Two big managerial hires. Obviously, the MLB, everybody waiting to see what's going to happen with Shohei Ohtani, especially as the winter meeting starts to heat up the hot stove season for Major League Baseball. But two big managerial hires over the last couple of weeks. The Mets finally have a brand new coach, and it's not Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell went on to sign a managerial contract that set a new record for managers with the Chicago Cubs. But the Mets hired 43-year-old Carlos Mendoza, who spent his last 15 years with the New York Yankees, including managing in their low minor league system. And he spent the past four seasons as the bench coach for the Yankees. Well-respected among players, well-loved, now going to the New York Mets as their new full-time manager. And here's a throwback for a lot of people in Major League Baseball. The Los Angeles Angels hired Ron Washington as their new manager. 71-year-old Ron Washington, who last managed in 2014 for the Texas Rangers, he had two World Series appearances in eight seasons as the Texas Rangers manager. He becomes the oldest manager in baseball at 71 years old, will receive a two-year contract. He also becomes one of only two Black managers in the game, joining Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. There would have been three Black managers in the game, but Dusty Baker retired at the end of the World Series as the head coach of the Houston Astros. Ron Washington's career record, 664 and 611, and he spent the last 7 years as the Atlanta Braves third base coach. But the big story on Quick Hits, this literally broke earlier today, ladies and gentlemen, on Friday, November 10th. The Big Ten has suspended Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh for the remainder of the regular season as league disciplines the Michigan football program under its sportsmanship policy amid the ongoing NCAA investigation into Michigan's in-person sign-stealing ring. Michigan's Wolverines, third ranked in the country at 9-0, actually head into a big game this week against 8-1, 10th ranked Penn State. But now here's the interesting thing. This is not a censure on Harbaugh. This is actually a censorship on the program, according to the NCAA. Their statement said that Michigan was found to be in violation of the Big Ten sportsmanship policy for, quote, conducting an impermissible in-person scouting operation over multiple years, resulting in an unfair competitive advantage that compromised the integrity of competition. And Harbaugh's suspension only bans him from the sidelines on game days, but he is still allowed to fully coach and run the team the remainder of the week. So Sunday to Friday, Harbaugh is still the head coach, can do everything in the capacity of the head coach, but just cannot be on the sidelines for game day. Interesting that this didn't come down on Harbaugh, came down on Michigan and affected Harbaugh. There's been a lot of talk, obviously, whether or not Harbaugh is going to leave once again to go to the NFL. But interesting that a lot of people didn't think that Harbaugh would that the NCAA would have what it took. Now, mind you, this is also the Big Ten. This is just his conference that is disciplining him. The NCAA, as a larger governing body, could still levy sanctions and censures against both Michigan, the school, and John Harbaugh, the coach.
Man, if you cheat, you need to be what's the name? Suspended. But that's not enough. It's not enough.
It's only three games. Yeah. Only three more games in the regular season.
It's still not enough.
Now, if you leave to the NFL,
y'all think he cheated?
You think what?
Yeah, I think
what I didn't hear. She said it.
Quit. I think she said, "Do you think we cheat? He cheated."
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Interesting thing is, even if he goes to the NFL, has shown that they do not ignore NCAA sanctions. So if he, like, for example, if he goes to the NFL and he's suspended by the NCAA, the NFL has actually upheld or given some form of suspension to players and coaches and executives that were former NCAA employees or officials coming to the NFL as kind of an escape.
That's funny.
To be very interesting.
Yeah,
but that is all for quick hits. Save the big one for last. John Harbaugh, surprise. But only three games. I found that one to be more surprising than anything. It's only three games.
Man, sports is weird sometimes. I know we cover it, but the world of sports is a funny place where you can cheat and still have your job.
Bill Belichick.
Nobody care.
Oh, speaking of, did y'all hear the rumor? The big rumor that apparently there's a lot of rumor and innuendo in the NFL that Bill Belichick will not be the coach of the Patriots at the end of the season.
I heard that too.
But that Bill Belichick will be traded as a head coach to the Washington Commanders.
I don't know about all that trading shit, but I heard that he's imagine him going to the Washington Commanders. I doubt that, but I don't see his tenure at the Patriots much longer.
Apparently, Robert Kraft already knows who he wants to succeed Belichick.
If he gets traded to the Commanders, he is retiring.
Yeah, he's done.
He is out of there. The Commanders probably know that anyway. They're probably like, whatever.
Can you even trade head coaches?
Yes, you can.
You could do it in the NBA too. Doc Rivers got traded.
I remember that. But before I jump, I do want to give two or three quick things that I did notice about the NBA. No one's talking about the Pacers.
No, the Pacers are
the Pacers are offensively epic. Let's say that right now.
They're sneaking up on people.
Number two, the Golden State Warriors, they look pretty good. As usual.
And they just moved CP3 to the bench.
Which they should have done in the first place.
He shouldn't have been starting.
I mean, is this 2004, like 10? I mean, I was all right. You know, I ain't going to go there.
This is a throwback episode, too.
Yeah. But Indiana Pacers look amazing. I just wanted to say that. I just had to get that off my chest. I would be remiss without saying that. It might not look that way by the time we record again, but as of right now, they look incredible. Got them out. And the Knicks are nicking. I mean, they had an impressive win over San Antonio Spurs. But what are we going to do with Randall?
Get the ass out of there.
Peter, I'm really interested in knowing what you think we should do with Randall.
Well, I've already said I think Randall's still hurt. Mm. There's no way that you have this excuse to me. No. I don't think so. When I'm thinking of where he is right now offensively, how he's been shooting, and I think about even his worst years with the Knicks, his first year with the Knicks and his third year with the Knicks, it's a very precipitous drop. And you usually don't see that. I can't use that word with Matt's on, by the way, precipitous. he'll go 30 minutes about why he doesn't understand that word. But you know, it's really a major drop, and there's really no way. Like, yeah, we all know Father Time catches up to everybody, but there's no way it catches up that much in less than 6 months. I still think he's hurt. I don't think he's fully recovered from whatever surgery he had. I think there's something wrong with Randall. I do think eventually we have to move on from Randall, because I don't think Randall's the future of the team. But again, you know, his value was not very high at the end of the season. That contract was not very attractive. I think it'll be a lot more attractive at the end of this year. I think he's going to round into form. The last game that we played against the Spurs, he actually looked a little bit better. His shooting was a little bit better. And I will say this, he is still contributing on the rebounding side. I will say, I do agree. I don't know who said it. I forget who said it, but somebody said this, and I 100% agree. At some point, somebody on the coaching staff has got to say, stop shooting the damn ball. When you shot 7 straight three-pointers and you haven't made one, do something else. Get in the paint, use your body, do something. Pause, right? But, you know, do what you need to do, because obviously if the threes aren't falling, you got to find something else. And if you're a three-point specialist and your threes aren't falling, then you're not in the game. And he's not a three-point specialist. So figure out what we need to do. Right. When you start feeling comfortable with the 3-point shot again, go ahead and shoot. But right now, Randall needs to reimagine his game to what's working for him.
And nothing is. And he needs to set now. All right. Good night, y'all. I'm done.
So for the Voice of Generation Peoples Auto, for BK Matt, for the Queen, Queen Tay, it is your boy, Big Baby, signing off. Peace.
Stop eating ass, Dwight Howard.